The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9. We go till 11. If Charlie Pelillo is not playing softball today, he will probably do his radio show right here. We got to find out how many hits Charlie got yesterday. The Astros have their annual media softball game at 10 o'clock on a Monday after the Super Bowl. Just doesn't that so we're not able to play in it. You could have played in it. You could have played softball yesterday with Charlie. But you chose not to.
I chose to do draft work.
Well, Charlie chose not to make money. Charlie chose to go play softball instead. That's what Charlie chose.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
He plays every Sunday. He's got a pickup game.
Oh, he plays on Sundays too?
On God.
I used to play Sunday mornings. There was a park
right by
my house.
Maybe you used to play in Charlie's games.
No, it wasn't in Charlie's games. I would have recognized him. I knew Charlie then. It was only a couple years ago.
He used to play in, he wore sunglasses sometimes. But Charlie used to play.
I still could recognize Charlie with sunglasses.
I think he still plays maybe in pickup games that he gets with listeners, like old listeners for years and years. He had pickup games and he would play on, I think, on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
True story. I heard about it when I was at 790. I never played.
It's just a rumor? It's like a Charlie rumor?
No, Michael played in them.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he played. Charlie's supposedly really good, too.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Charlie's a good athlete. Yeah. Good tennis player, good baseball player. Yeah. Charlie can go.
Yeah. So suck on that, Death by Sexy.
He's a kid in Flatbush, just, playing stickball up against the corner, see?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Ma, we're going to be playing stickball
out
here.
Ma, we're going to be playing stickball outside, Ma.
Ma, I ain't coming home yet. I'm playing stickball.
Get inside.
No.
The gravy's ready.
All right. Yeah, the gravy. Oh, when the gravy was ready, you don't think I ran home? The gravy's ready. Oh, and then.
What's your brother's
instead
name?
Instead of the gravy, my brother?
Yeah.
Greg.
Greg, the gravy's ready. We got to go. Come on, the gravy.
So, but then you get home and, you're not making a gravy. You're making smoked butt. Oh. Did you ever have smoked butt?
I don't know. You mean pork butt?
It was, smoked, I don't know. Cheapest cut of meat you could possibly buy.
I don't know if I had that.
Your mom, cabbage? Your mom would
had
to smother it in mustard so you could possibly.
We did have, my mom made something called galuchkis, which I thought was a German dish, but then a couple years ago they said it, I think it is.
Yeah.
I thought it was German all those years, but it was like a stuffed cabbage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would probably like it now. I didn't like it then.
No.
And then she made liver. She had a thing for 2 years where she
liver
made liver.
And onions.
And then it went away. Yeah, and then it went away. Ugh,
you walk in the house and it just smells so bad.
It smells like there had been a murder.
Like there was a dead rat.
Yeah.
Right, you know, as soon as you walked in. That's
terrible.
What's
this gamey? Oh, you could just smell the... It was the same smell as blood.
All right. So Kobe wasn't wrong, but Kobe just... Okay, so you got these ready, Del? You got him and James ready? Okay. So James puts... James, you want to talk about an efficient game last night. 15 for 26 for 44 points. He was plus 19. 9 of 11 from the free throw line. 5 of 13 from 3. That's just James being James. James is not... He's a volume three-point shooter. He's not a great... He's not a good three-point shooter. He's average at best. But he... You know what? You live with that. Because, you know, he's James. But James is doing what James has to do. He scored 44 points and just... An average game for him over the last month and a half.
They gave up a push in the fourth quarter, by the way. They were
I know. They were way up. Push, and yeah. They had it. And instead, they win by 8 and lose the fourth quarter by 6, which gives you a push as opposed to a win.
I don't love Harden playing 38 minutes in a game like that, but
I know. Why is he on the floor at the end? What the hell?
He got his 30. Get him out.
Yeah, once he hits 30.
I don't know what this is about. I mean, God bless. Do you recognize, Mike, that there's a bigger picture here. It's not getting to every single minute and every single point you can for Harden. Great, he's going to average. He's going to break all these records. Great. Get him out 2 or 3 minutes early.
So, yeah, I mean, he played 38 minutes. He doesn't have to play 38 minutes in a blowout.
I know.
Well, I could see the other night. Because he has to score 30. If he doesn't score 30, then the James Harden, what'd Tad call it? The
Unstoppable Tour?
The James Harden Unstoppable Tour would have come to a halt, and we can't have that. He's got to score 30. So there's that. I get that the other night. But why is he in last night? Anyway, so yeah, they look. It's just that's a bad basketball team now, Phoenix team. But Kobe, the story was yesterday, style of play, and Kobe was asked whether or not that style of what he thought of the way that James Harden plays.
They're talking about the scoring, basically,
yeah, right? And this run that he's on,
I think he has to do what he has to do in order for his team to win championships. I don't think that style is ever going to win championships. But at the same time, you have to keep your team's head above water to win games. So you have to do what you have to do to win games. And he's doing that.
So are you saying you don't think James Harden and the Rockets, as constructed, can win a title?
Not with this style of play, it won't win. Right? With one player dominating the ball. Because listen, if you take one player, you put him at the top of the key, or you put him on the wing, and you're running screen rolls, you're always in front of the defense. Mm-hmm. The defense can key on that, particularly in the playoffs. And that's easy to defend.
Yeah.
It's easy to defend. Now, what he's doing is absolutely remarkable, though. And I think it's a testament to how remarkable it is, because people are now trying to minimize what it is that he's doing. I mean, he's doing some phenomenal stuff, man.
That's Tracy McGrady with them.
Yeah.
If you're a Rocket fan who's offended by that, just go ahead and drive right off the road into whatever the hardest thing you can find is.
Well, no. Hmm? Well, you're not.
Just save us.
What?
There's nothing offensive about what he said, because I already know it's going to be, what did Kobe say? They can't win a title like this. Yeah, they can't.
No, they can't. No, they can't.
That's why when you brought Chris, we've seen this play out for 3 other years. You brought Chris Paul in, and all of a sudden you could win a title. That's magical.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think it's, again, now I'll tell you this, like last night,
Kenneth Faried has been incredible.
But P.J. Tucker, you know, remember which game?
Faried on the boards has been, I mean, Kenneth Faried may have just saved their opportunity for a postseason. They're going to get in the postseason, but he gives them opportunities with... When you lost, Nene can just barely go. When you lost Clint Capella, I was just thinking, what in the hell's going to happen now? And then the magic of the buyout brings the Manimal in, and he has been unbelievable. Every game he plays well.
When are the Knicks going to buy out Wes Matthews? Let's go. No. But see, PJ Tucker, here's the thing about, I think, the style of play, too, that I don't think Kobe, it's that too many guys are just standing around. Too many guys... And then they get their opportunities. And Raheel has talked about this. When you watch the Celtics, it's, man, you know, they're 10 deep. And boy, I get the ball, I'm shooting. I ain't giving it up.
Yeah.
I will not give it up. So you touch the ball so little.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
In the Rockets' case, it's just one guy in the kitchen. Everybody else is just standing there watching. And then, oh, wow, I got a shot. Well, I get five, six shots a game. I'm not going to hit them. I don't have enough opportunities to get hot.
He is doing what he has to do right now, though.
He is doing
but
what he has to
not,
do.
It's, of
no
course
question.
It's not title
but I agree with him that the style of play is certainly not conducive to winning championships.
We've already seen this. This isn't the first. This is the Rockets every year but last year.
You know everybody.
Right? James and everyone else. This has been the Rockets every single year other than that. And it is good enough to get you pretty far. But winning a title means that James has to play the exact same way every game for you to have a chance. And that's just not feasible against a team like Golden State.
No. And here's the deal, too, is we remember Michael with all of this love, and it was unbelievable what Michael did, and just about championships. Well, not so much. The first 7 years of his career, the first 6 years of his career, he was just a scorer. And it was like he was James Harden here. He didn't have enough around him, and he just said, well, just give me the ball because I'm going to lead the league in scoring every year and do absolutely nothing in the postseason until he got Scottie and Horace and Cartwright and BJ and Paxton. All of those guys, he needed to have that. This is almost identical to what Michael Jordan was doing early in his career.
Here's the big difference. I don't think Michael was out there trying to chase just score. I think he literally thought so lowly of his teammates.
Yeah. Well, didn't look at James without all these guys, though.
But I think that he was, I don't think it was about, I do think everything he did was about trying to win. And if I got to score 60, then I'm going to get 60.
Well, now he still led the league in scoring after all those guys got there. Now,
yeah.
Let's not make no mistake. It's not like he gave up the ball. And James didn't either. You know, last year, James looked like a guy who wanted to win a championship.
Absolutely.
Now this year,
I'm not blaming him. Wait. I want to make sure. I don't want to be tied to this. I'm not saying that I don't think James doesn't want to win a championship. I do think James understands. He didn't have Chris Paul for a full month.
No.
He had Clint Capella out. Frankly, his supporting cast is not good enough. James has to do this.
He does. And he said it as well.
But it isn't title friendly, though.
No, it's not title. And James knows this.
Okay.
You said James knows it? Well, here's James when asked about what Kobe said.
ESPN's Rachel Nichols interviewed Kobe Bryant today, and he had said that he doesn't think that you guys can win a championship with the way you play, being so ball dominant. What's your response to that?
I mean, I have to be ball dominant just because we have injuries. You know, we had injuries throughout the course of the year. But when we get Chris, you know, in a rhythm and Eric back and get our full roster, you know, we got multiple guys that can make plays, multiple guys that can dominate the ball. So, for right now, he's probably right. You know, this way that we're playing won't happen in the play. It won't get us to where we want to go. But we haven't had a full roster yet. So I'm excited for that to come.
All right, James.
Yeah.
That's case closed.
He's realistic about it.
Case closed, yeah. James knows.
He knows.
James isn't stupid. James knows. Everyone knows.
And
Rocket fans, you need to know, too.
Here's the difficult part, though, is giving it up when everybody's healthy, when Capella's there, but getting back to the pick and roll, getting back to Chris Paul, having his mid-range jumper, getting enough shots to get him in rhythm, letting Eric Gordon take his shots as well, and, you know, get him open, set him up on a pass and shoot. I mean, this is going to be a key for this team going forward. And the big question is whether or not this is like crack. This is like the ring, and Frodo can't give it up. Okay, and if it wasn't for Gollum, what happens, Del? Then the world isn't saved, right?
One of the more underplayed storylines of that entire series is the fact that Frodo bitched out at the end.
Yeah,
and if not for Gollum, the world would have been over.
The world would have been, and with Middle Earth would have ended.
Because Frodo was at the gates of Mordor. He got in, and the Mount Doom, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
He's about to throw the ring in the fire, and he's like, you know what?
Nope.
I'm keeping it. And Sam's like, what are you doing, Frodo? Throw it into the fire. And Frodo's like, not playing.
No.
This is my ring. I'm disappearing and walking away. But Gollum was tracking him, bit his finger off with the ring on it.
He bit his finger off?
Yes.
On the movie, too?
And he fell into the... That's where I know it from. I'm not reading the books.
And fell into the fire. Okay, spoiler alert.
It's been out for quite a while, John. They've actually made prequels. It's been out for quite a while.
It's almost the exact opposite, though. It's James trying to get the ring as opposed to throwing the ring away. which he's done plenty of times.
Well, the ring is the ball. No, the ball is his
ball
precious.
Is precious.
Oh, okay, the ring is the ball, not the ring.
Yeah, not the championship ring.
Okay, so
ball is precious.
The ball is precious, and he won't give that up.
See,
and so Chris Paul has to be Gollum and bite off James's finger to get the ball away from James.
But like Frodo, James has been a very willing participant in sharing the ball and stuff like that. It's just now that they've gone down this journey this long without Eric Gordon and Chris Paul, because Eric Gordon had to.
Well, you lost the rest.
You lost Eric QT couple days ago, but now it's just like,
well, you lost. But don't forget that Frodo lost the Fellowship of the Ring too. He lost all those guys, and he and Samwise went off on their own.
Right, kind of like he and Fareed right now have had to.
Right. Fareed and Samwise?
Okay. Chris Paul's back, right? We don't really talk about that now, but Chris Paul's back. He's playing okay right now.
Yeah.
He has his moments.
I know, but not really.
He doesn't look like last year's Chris Paul yet, but he'll get there. He'll get there.
Based on what? It up. Why is he going to get there?
Is he really back?
Four assists and six turnovers? Is he really back?
Not yesterday. He had some turnovers yesterday, but you're looking at a box score one game. I mean, he shot it okay. He's moving pretty well on the court. I'm just talking about how he's playing. He just hasn't gotten to the point where he is able to take over games. He's not playing at the same level right now. He also missed a month. It's not that unusual.
No, he's not totally back, though. He will be.
No, he's not. Yeah, that's
no, and he's got plenty of time to get back. He's got plenty of time to get back. And I don't think it's going to take Clint all that long. It's, I have to jump and catch and dunk. I think, Clint, it's not like Clint.
Calm down, Kevin Durant. You relax. Didn't Kevin Durant put that on Clint Capela, too? He goes, there's no pressure for that guy. All he does is catch
lobs. That's what he does. He grabs rebounds. He puts back. He catches James's passes and dunks. What? That's what he does. I'm sure. I know that he's got a bad thumb or whatever. I'm sure once it's okay, he'll be able to get that skill set back. 714 ESPN 97.5.
I thought that music. I thought you were playing something from The Shire.
Someone
play that coming back.
I'm like, we can
compare Rockets to Game of Thrones, not Game of Thrones, Lord of the Ring characters, if you'd like.
I don't know those guys well enough.
7-3-7-8-0.
Who's the elf that shoots arrows?
I know we're calling
Legolas.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I know we're calling Chris Paul Gollum, but let's be clear here. He's pretty much Samwise.
He is his friend.
Yeah.
But he's got to be Gollum here. He's got to take the ring away.
Yeah. Who's Mike D'Antoni?
He's Gandalf.
No, Maury is Gandalf.
Oh, Maury.
Yeah. I'm not sure D'Antoni. You got to think on that one for a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Who's Gimli?
7:15.
ESPN 97.5.
Mm-hmm. God, doesn't this get you excited to go on a
not
on a
one
journey?
Single bit. This is the opposite of Game of Thrones for me.
No, this
Game
is
of
no,
Thrones
this
gets
makes
me
you
excited.
Feel great about your life. See, this is when after this
little guy,
this is where Frodo wakes up in the elves with the elves, and he's okay after we thought he was dead, but he wasn't dead. You see.
Jeff Van Gundy is going to join us at 7:45. We're going to talk about
it. You think he'll talk about Lord of the Rings?
He's Gimli.
I hope not.
No. PJ Tucker apparently is Gimli.
It's not bad.
And Eric is Legolas the Shooter. Eric Gordon.
Sometimes.
Yeah, not always.
Well, we should.
And D'Antoni, Eric
Gordon. Gerald Green?
Gerald Green? Is there somebody crazy in there that just runs around?
You mean he's an orc?
I felt like, he's a friendly, he's an orc that's been turned.
No, there's no friendly orcs. Who?
Like, he's legless. You ever seen how fast he can get rid of those arrows?
No, Gerald Green is one of the dwarves from The Hobbit. He's got to be one of those from the prequel movies, The Hobbit. He's one of those dwarves.
You think I don't like this game. This game is as fun as the Game of Thrones game.
What? No, this is better.
Oh, you
better
like characters. Calling our beloved owner Hodor? You like calling Cal Hodor?
Yeah, congratulations.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, you kind of did.
No, I didn't. I don't know who. I can't remember who did it. And then I saw the picture that, who was it, Dustin or somebody photoshopped, and it was like a pretty incredible Photoshop.
Gerald Green equals Gollum. No, once he gets his precious ball, he ain't giving that up. Well, that's true.
There are some similarities.
Hey guys, I think a Lord of the Rings fan podcast pirated the broadcast and is sending out their show over your halls.
No.
Gerald, my precious. Gerald Green is not. Look, he put his face over. That's terrible. Anyway, Theoden is not Lord of the Rings. Okay.
I don't know any of these.
Theoden?
Theoden.
Who is he? Where's he from?
Oh, I was thinking of Theo Reek. Who was Reek?
Theon.
Theon.
Theon Greyjoy.
Oh, okay.
No, Theoden.
He's the weak old king.
Yeah.
Under the spell of Kobe.
Who is that?
I don't know. Everybody's just making stuff up. This is not a Lord of the Rings fan podcast, by the way. All right. 713-780-3776. Let me ask you guys this question. Honestly, I mean, Anthony Davis put out his teams. The Bucks are on a team that anybody wants to go to is really it just tells you what Giannis means to this league. That anyone would want to go to Milwaukee in the NBA. That when would that ever happen? Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, couldn't wait to get out of there as soon as he possibly could. That anybody would want to go there and play on that team is a credit to what Giannis is to this league.
Yeah, and he's Greek. He doesn't know.
Yeah, no, he's a nice guy.
This is great. No one's this entire city isn't headed to. Well, they don't have bankruptcy. They're just financial ruin in Greece.
Listen, if you put Milwaukee in the middle of Greece, it would be like L.A., Vegas, and New York. I mean, it would be it's prime city.
Wait, Greece is like beautiful, right?
I've been there plenty. Yeah, I've been there.
That's John's also John's people. He doesn't claim them. He only claims the Italians.
Claim
the Greek.
It absolutely is. No, I'm half Greek.
Yeah.
Athens is like a Middle Eastern country. Like a Middle Eastern city. Okay. It really is. The Greeks are like fractions away from being a Middle East, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's in Europe, everybody thinks, "Oh, Greece." Listen.
I'm sorry, your mom is Greek.
Now, if you go to I love my people.
But
Athens is like it's like a Middle Eastern city. Yeah. I'm telling you,
Greek food is very similar.
It's almost identical. It's Middle Eastern.
Yes, it is.
But now the beaches and the coastline is unbelievable, unbelievable. The city's not so much.
Uzo's no good.
What are you talking about?
Uzo's terrible.
Uzo is awesomeness, and you'll have plenty of it at the rodeo cookoff.
I'm not.
There's only one rodeo cookoff tent that just has all Uzo. Guess which one it is.
Who?
Damaris.
No kidding. Yeah. I had the fried turkeys. I didn't have the fried turkeys. I had them fried turkey on Thanksgiving, and it just got plastered.
Yeah.
I had to go home and sleep.
Yeah,
I had to have somebody pick me up.
He's not Kaldor. Stop putting that picture.
No one knows any of those people, John.
So that's Hodor. You don't know Hodor?
I know Hodor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kaldor. Not even know it. I thought that was one of your Lord of the Rings people again.
No. So anyway, so that he wants to go to Milwaukee. Okay, it's the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, and the Knicks are the teams that he will go to and sign long-term deals. The Lakers obviously have the best package. I just think, okay, if you give up Ingram and Kuzma and Ball and two first-round draft picks, and who else? And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Is this not way too much? Is this not? I don't know. I know that whoever gets the best player, but are you sure that the LeBron-Anthony Davis combination? Somebody made the point the other day. Are you sure that a big guy is going to be able to play with LeBron when LeBron needs the lane to drive and do all of the things that LeBron does? Now Anthony Davis has got some outside game as well. He can face the basket. He can go back to the basket. He can face the basket. He can score. He's different than most big guys. But are you sure he's not going to treat him like Chris Bosh?
Yes, I'm sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah, different dudes. Chris Bosh is a beta player. I don't think Anthony Davis. Chris just wanted to fit in, and he was perfect, frankly, for two big personalities with Wade and LeBron. He was perfect. You can have two big personalities on the team. I don't think Anthony's
the only point. If you get rid of Kuzma, if you get rid of Ingram, right. If you get rid of Ball, what is the periphery?
You have the Heat. You have Birdman, Anderson. I mean, you're going to have veteran minimum guys. And you'll have more than that, but yeah, you're going to lose your young core guys. But how many guys can have the ball in their hands? Then it becomes about putting the right guys around them.
Right. However,
you can pick and choose, and you will have some buyout situation. Like they can go Daryl Morey buyout contract. You know the buyout trade deadline. Basically, I think they can. LeBron, for whatever you want to say about him, dude, LeBron plays. He can adjust his game to whoever plays with him. I do think that, and I don't think he's going to. Like berate Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis crazy talented.
No, but not berate Anthony Davis. Yeah. It's just whether or not he's going to get him the ball needs it.
I think so.
And oh, by the way, what does Anthony Davis want?
When's LeBron ever been a bad teammate per se?
When he tweets out how his teammates suck.
I mean, on the court.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think he plays like a bad teammate. I really don't. I think LeBron can fit into whoever you want, and I think. Anthony, I mean, you really have a concern about Anthony Davis and LeBron.
I have a concern whether or not Anthony Davis is going to be a champion.
I don't care. I hope he's not. I hope LeBron's not either.
Yeah,
in
the
Western Conference.
No, I mean, I'm worried for the Lakers because.
I can tell.
Yeah, I'm really worried for the Lakers. I just don't know that it's a great deal.
It is
going to
be hilarious. So supposedly, there's a bunch of tricks going on right now. Supposedly, Anthony Davis has told we need to break it because we got to try to get to break earlier. But it's at 45, but we'll have to break a little early.
Okay.
But supposedly, Anthony Davis has told the Pelicans these are the teams that will sign long term contracts. He's hoping that they'll trade him to somebody else. As soon as he gets there, he's gonna be like, he just can't come to it. Rich Paul will be like, I'm sorry, we just can't come to a deal. Mm-hmm. Guess we'll just have to take our chances with free agency.
Yeah.
Stop trying to trick everyone.
We should have put just one team.
Pelicans, yeah.
Should have just put one.
Because that's the truth. Yeah. He's going to L.A.
And listen, the Bucks don't have enough to give them. I mean, the only team that really has what probably New Orleans is looking for is the Lakers.
Lakers do have that.
They do have that.
They do have young talent. I mean, they drafted early for 100 years.
The Lakers have got to have guys under their thumb for years to come. Okay, we'll talk to
Ingram, Kuzma. You can get it done if you want.
Absolutely. All right, why don't you talk about getting some testosterone?
I'll tell you about getting it done. Men's T Clinic. You know, I was thinking. Yesterday, I left here at 9:50 p.m. Got in. It was a longish day, about 15-hour workday for me, and I left, and I was like, man, I had plenty of energy, plenty of bounce, and I remember thinking that it was the same feeling I had. I'll never forget. It was January 2016 when I'd first used Men's T Clinic when I first had my first treatment, and it's that feeling of that. Additional energy burst that you get and the sustained energy that is something that comes with a testosterone level that is where it's supposed to be that is a huge, huge difference maker for you. And that's what Men's T Clinic can do for you as well. They can get you to that level of testosterone where you need to be. And if you're not there, then your energy level suffers, your metabolism suffers, your body type in terms of lean muscle mass. That's one of the first things that really, really suffers. This is your opportunity to find out where your metabolism or rather where your testosterone is, because having your testosterone at the proper level gives you better mental clarity. It gives you much better libido. It gives you much better drive and determination, not just, you know, at the workplace, but also just on the weekends, living life rather than being a couch potato. Find out where your testosterone level is by going to Men's T Clinic. They'll test you and have results in minutes. MensTClinic.com.
Hold up, son. Word.
Yeah. To all the this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, quick segment here because Jeff Van Gundy's going to join us at the 45 mark, 10 minutes from now. So you want to be here for that. Jeff is always awesome. Oliver Luck is going to join us at 8:30 right here. And I did tell him to bring some kolaches or breakfast tacos.
Yeah. John goes, Oliver Luck's coming in. I said, tell him to bring breakfast.
Let me, Del, you...
What? I'm looking out for the team.
See how I take care? Oh, did you?
Del, that's hashtag squad goals. I think that's squad goals, I think.
No. Did you happen to tell?
Jeff Van Gundy said now, if you want to go now.
Oh, yeah. Let's do now.
Do you have his number, Del?
Del should have his number.
Yeah.
Let's do now. Let's go. Let's go. What? What?
Saying the clock, but whatever.
Oh, well.
We'll zip past the clock.
We'll worry about that later. We'll worry about the clock later, Todd. Okay? Yeah.
What were you saying?
Now we're going to talk some basketball with Jeff Van Gundy. And listen.
Well, you can talk Super Bowl or whatever you want with Jeff Van Gundy too. He watches everything.
Well, yeah. I'm sure. I'm pretty sure. Did you see the kid on West Virginia yesterday that tripped the Texas Tech player?
No.
Oh yeah. He goes to the bench. He's flying through the air to block a three. He lands near their bench, and the West Virginia kid, Logan Rout, big white kid that wasn't getting on the floor ever, trips him, and they tossed him. You get ejected for tripping a guy that's running by.
Grayson Allen rule?
Yeah, I guess. But this, I guess if you're on the – Grayson Allen didn't get kicked out. He just got
No, I know. Maybe they set it up for Grayson
Allen. Or I guess if you're on the bench, if you're
– Grayson Allen couldn't stop – that was the weirdest thing to me. He couldn't stop tripping people.
Right. He's a serial tripper.
Yeah. There he is right there.
There's Jeff Van Gundy right
coach
here.
Coach Jeff Van Gundy, we still call him coach. I think that I consider coach a term of endearment to call somebody coach.
Yeah.
So we have Coach Jeff Van Gundy on right now, obviously lead analyst basketball for ESPN/ABC, the conglomerate. And sometime football commentary guy also, as he is a Texan season ticket holder. First of all, welcome to the show, Coach. How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
I mean, it was a bad Super Bowl, though. I recognize the good defensive stuff. I thought Wade Phillips, from a strategy standpoint, did fantastic.
But you and Thibodeau loved that Super Bowl, Coach.
No way.
Oh, no. I mean, I wasn't really – I would have loved to see Wade Phillips win, but happy for the coaches of New England. But, like, as far as action, it was boring.
You can't appreciate a good defensive stop?
Yeah, but it was some bad offense, too.
Yeah, no.
Well, maybe if I knew the sport better, I could. But, no, I don't understand football very well, so I want to see, like, action.
Yeah, this is now Jeff Van Gundy. Well, boy, things have really changed, Coach. They've changed you over. The NBA has made you soft. You know, now you want scores in the 40s and 50s in football.
You turned into Jeff D'Antoni.
The 1990s Eastern Conference doesn't even recognize you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd also say this, that, I thought the halftime show of the Super Bowl got, like, killed for no reason. I think people didn't want to see that. So maybe I'm soft, maybe I'm boring, because I liked Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Well, you were
alone.
You are on an island on that one, Coach. Well, no, there's not a lot of love for it. You're right.
All right.
No, why? I don't understand why. Was it like bad music? I don't know.
Well, it was a little flat.
He showed nipples.
The shirt coming off. Yeah. That wasn't what everyone wanted.
That was unfortunate for everybody. Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5.
I thought you need to let Coach go on a little bit more about the Maroon 5. I feel like you got more things to say on that, Coach.
Well, if you have anything else, Coach, you'd like to add about...
No, I have nothing. I'm just like, my thing is on like the Super Bowl and the whole thing was the expectations get risen so high
that you're
almost always disappointed. And commercials, they get rated F and A and bad. Who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
That's all I hear now. The commercials were terrible. I didn't think the commercials were that bad. Listen, I thought they were okay.
As long as you
hear. I loved the one on Buble. I thought that was good.
Where you changing the name. You know what? We are in a society right now where you have to take a strong hyperbolic stand where everything has to be the absolute elite best or the absolute trash worst. It's like there's no middle ground anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point.
I didn't like Bud Light trash and Coors Light, though. I'll tell you that right now. That we can't have that. Jeff Van Gundy here with us on ESPN 97.5. We were talking a little bit about the Anthony Davis thing a little bit earlier. I don't know, Coach, if you're going to give up Kuzma and Ingram and Ball and Pope and two first-round draft picks, I don't know. I don't know that it's a great deal for the Lakers. What do you think?
I would drive them there if I was anybody in L.A. to get Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. You can have them all. Like, and they're all pretty good. And one may develop into really good, like Ingram or maybe Kuzma. But Anthony Davis is an elite NBA talent who in the playoffs, you know, he's got this durability issue in the regular season. He's always nicked up. He's sitting out. But as far as if you get him in the playoffs, he is a dominant, dominant player. And so, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
So you don't think that the periphery is going to be – how difficult, I guess, to get guys to L.A. to play with those two? I guess they will be able to fill in everything else. But we've seen that if you have those stars and nothing around them, that you're going to – that you got a possibility of struggling.
Well, if you look at LeBron last year with Cleveland, right, he had a lot of nothing around him at times. And he was still able to get them – you know, to the finals. So, you know, other than Love, Tristan Thompson played, you know, fairly well. But other than that, they didn't really have a lot last year play well. And I just think greatness, as you see it with Houston every night, greatness drives, you know, the whole league. And to have James and Davis, this year you'd have a hard time replenishing and restocking your roster to fit around them, but going forward, I think it's a no-brainer for LA.
You know, Coach, this is I think this is interesting with what's going on. LA is always going to be an interesting storyline with LeBron there, but when you look at how LeBron is now having to, I think he's got to enter a different stage of his career, and you can already see him making nice with Kyrie Irving. This has been in the works. LeBron went to L.A., everyone said, well, he can't win in L.A. That was, wow, I can't believe he's going in L.A. because they're not ready to win this year. He never looked at it as winning this year. He looked at it as free agency in 2019 is going to be loaded, and let me just set the groundwork in 2019, which is smart. But I think if he's going to get a Kyrie Irving and guys like that in, this is no, it can no longer be about LeBron's team and you fit in. He's got to convince whoever that this is also their team, and he's just going to help shepherd them into – them becoming the guy while he is going to be, you know, he'll obviously be the guy right now, but I think he's got to sell it as we're co-guys and I'm going to back out while you're the guy in due time. I think that's how he has to sell that.
Well, somewhat like Dwayne Wade did for LeBron James in Miami. And I think you're absolutely right. I don't think there's a natural rush for free agents, to go and partner with James because they think they're going to take a back seat. I think you're right. He's going to have to sell that. No, I'm now 35, 36. We're going to do it together, and we're going to recruit other players together. And it's no longer, I'm not going to refer to you as my guys. It's our team. And I think that's important for their recruiting efforts and free agency. And it'll be interesting to see if James can make that adjustment.
We got Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. Have the Celtics started to figure this out, Coach?
Well, I think they're really good. I know there's a lot of hand-wringing because people expected them to be great right from the start. And like Houston, who they both lost in the conference finals at home in a Game 7 last year, both teams started, I think, with a hangover. I think Harden brought Houston out of their hangover with his great play. And I think the depth of Boston, while it's great in the long term, hurt Boston in the short term because I think with Irving and Hayward back, everybody's roles were a little different than they were last year. And I think that hurt their efficiency early. And I think from there, they've started to reestablish their defense. Their offense has gotten progressively better during the year, and I still think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference come playoff time.
Yeah. You know, the Houston Rockets, it is going to be interesting because James Harden, we know about this scoring pace, and as long as it doesn't have an impact, we know that James has to score, and we get that. As long as it doesn't have an impact on the way the team needs to play once they're at full strength, then that's fine if they can go back to what they did last year. But I want to ask you that question. When you have a guy like James Harden, and this is a unique situation where he was in a uniquely I'm the guy spot with all these injuries for a while there in December into January, how hard is it going to be to dial this back into the team and the chemistry they had last year where it becomes more ball sharing, less ball dominating? How tough is that going to be?
Oh, I don't think they should necessarily try to be like they were last year because their team is so different. I think the number one issue for the Rockets is how good can Chris Paul play? You know, is he going to be really, really good like he was last year, or is he going to be pretty good like he's been this year? If he can be really, really good, then I think they have a chance in any series because that allows Harden on certain possessions and also when Harden rests for them to keep the offense going. I like their pickup of Austin Rivers. I think Eric Gordon hasn't shot the ball like he did. He's going to have to continue to find that rhythm. And I think then it comes down to the Ariza role. You know, can Ennis or who can play that consistently well? But I think Harden should be aggressive. I don't think their issues with Harden on the floor are going to be him holding the ball too much because, listen, he played the same way last year in many cases. If they switch, he's going to handle it and overhandle it to some people's liking, but he's still going to be able to create a good shot for himself or for his teammates. I think the issues are going to be defense and depth, and it'll be interesting to see after the buyout market if they're able to improve their depth.
Wes Matthews, would he be a good fit here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love Wes Matthews. I mean, again, his injury history has prevented him from playing to the level he was prior to injury, but he's still a volume three-point shooter, which fits in perfectly with their philosophy, and he is a great, great competitor. And you can never have too much shooting and too many competitors.
No. Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. And what about the addition of, I think, Kenneth Faried? And by the way, you said there's such a different team than last year. I guess because Chris Paul is not that same guy that he was last year in large part. But did Trevor Ariza and Bamute mean that much to this basketball team?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They're good players. Ariza is, like, to me, a great middle reliever. He can eat up minutes and defend, and he shot it, and he drove it. And listen, it's hard to replace those guys. You know, James Ennis, while a guy who has had good minutes, to achieve consistency of both durability and play to Ariza's level, he's not there. And so, yeah, they miss those guys. And I think you mentioned Faried, right? So it shows you Harden's greatness that Faried, who cannot be in a rotation for Denver and then Brooklyn, can come in and from day one play well for the Rockets because Harden attracts so much attention. Mike does a great job of incorporating new players, keeps it simple. He's to screen and sprint to the basket, and then rebound and defend as hard as he can. I think it's been a great addition.
You know, that's one of the – I mean, Faried has been fantastic. I think one of the things about Trevor Ariza that people don't really take into account as much is that Trevor Ariza meant a lot off the court too, and that's something that fans aren't privy to. And we have Joel Blank over here, luckily, who has that experience in the background, and, you know, he's talked about it before. He said Trevor Ariza – there's just, he is so respected in that locker room and he clicks with so many different people. And I think that's something that you have to have that with some of the big personalities and with James,
that's kind of important to find that right guy as well. And it will, that will never show up in a box score, but that's an important facet of NBA basketball too.
Well, absolutely. And let's face it, it's hard if you're one of those other guys. You can go up and down the court multiple trips without touching the ball, right? I mean, your job is to space the floor, stand in wherever you're spotted up, and if your man helps, be ready to shoot and be happy about it. That's not easy, and particularly for younger players who want to be more actively involved in the offense and have it to be more of an egalitarian type of offense. But for Houston, I think what Mike has done has figured out how they play their very best. That doesn't mean it's easy, though, on your ego to do that role. And so getting back to Ariza, I thought he did that. He accepted that. And I think that allowed other players that played with him to say, if Ariza, who's been in this league over a decade, can figure it out and be happy and content with it, so too can others.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd use the word egalitarian today, but okay. I'm just saying. That's all.
Hey, listen, I love words. So, like, trump that if you can, John.
Egalitarian. Oh. He's not getting. Oh, egalitarian's going to win.
You had to bring politics into it now, trumping it. Okay. It's a politics-free show.
Now you're ready for a Twitter. Someone probably got offended by that.
Probably. Are you a little disappointed, or are you happy with the Wade Miley signing, or did you think Jeff Luneau should have done more this offseason?
I say that we always wait and see, right? I think so much is made of in every sport now about the offseason instead of waiting to see the actual results. And I think the Astros, like, it's hard. You know, you have that many good players, you're going to lose some people. And it's just how it is. But that doesn't mean we also know that it will negatively impact the final product and the result. So I'm going to say this. I think the Astros are going to withstand it, and I think they're going back to the World Series.
Are you – Oliver Luck is coming in studio with us in about a half an hour here. Are you disappointed that his son Andrew is the Texans' daddy?
Man, he's good, isn't he?
He's really good.
Man.
They had to lose him for 2 years just to make it happen.
Well, you know what? That was a good. That was if that he was able to come back. I don't know what the rehab was or why it was so slow, but man, it worked. And I just also like how he carries himself. Besides being a great quarterback,
yeah,
I just love the way he competes and he carries himself. And Mr. Luck, man, he's had multiple jobs. Right?
Every other week.
He's been in West Virginia. He's been in the NCAA. Now he's doing this other
thing. Oh, he ran the Dynamo.
Sports Authority, too, right?
Yeah, Sports Authority, Dynamo, NCAA, West Virginia. Now he's running the XFL.
He's the Larry Brown of, like, running things.
He'll be here for a week, and then we'll see what his next job is.
I think it's awesome.
Did you go to the playoff game?
Of course.
Very disappointed.
You know Coach reps the Texans and Rockets on the broadcast.
I know that.
You know what it is? It's like I thought that when they hammered us at home in the regular season, I thought that would serve us well. And also, what it just was they're a lot better than us right now.
Yep, that's the case.
That's all it is. By the way,
just picking up a couple offensive linemen did that.
What do you think? Yeah, well, that's part of it, but Ballard makes, and getting your quarterback back is kind of big.
That was kind of a big
deal. But what did you think about, what do you think about the thought running around? Because I've been advocating this for a while. I think you have too, John. The Texans have money for Le'Veon Bell. While I'm not typically in favor of paying a ton of money at running back, I think that's a unique opportunity to get a guy who helps you in the run game and helps your quarterback in the passing game with dump-offs. And I would be willing to take a look at big, big money for Le'Veon Bell because you have it. You got cap room for it.
Well, I don't know too much about the cap implications, but he's obviously a uniquely talented back. You know, now that position, correct me if I'm wrong, but has been sort of devalued.
Yes.
But the thing that I worry about is, to me, you have to have a line and a running back that can run the ball some, because I was scared for Watson sometimes this year. He holds the ball a lot. He takes a lot of hits. You know, no one wants to play with their backup quarterback. I think we were, you know, frankly, very fortunate that on some of those scrambles and hits that he absorbed, that he didn't get hurt. So whatever protects him, we need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. That's Coach. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging with us. Always great talking to you. Continue the great work there on ABC and ESPN.
All right. Take care, guys.
There's Jeff Van Gundy right here with us on ESPN 97.5. I got to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolfen. He is awesome at what he does. He's got a commercial out just about the Saints, okay? And he is going to save you money because the Saints lost and they got jobbed by the NFL. I don't know what the two, how they're related, but all I know is this, is that he cares about people. He's up with people. That's what he is. That's what John Clay Wolf does every single day. You can hear his show right after the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on ESPN 97.5 Saturday mornings. What I need you to do, though, is if you need to sell your car, you go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. It's ridiculous for you not to stop there and see what your car is worth, because he guarantees he's going to give you the best price. If he can't beat CarMax or Texas Direct Auto, then he is going to pay you $100. Nobody else is doing that. So you will get your best price. So it doesn't make any sense. And he says Houston is the best market. Everybody here is realistic about what their car is worth. You know, for a 2006 Ford pickup, you don't want $80,000. We're just realistic here. So he loves dealing with Houston. He will give you the best price. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.